I bet.
Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Welcome into the Eric Ainge Show, 865-656-9900. If you want to join us, brought to you by Food City, 865-656-9900. If you want to join us.
We will get to our VFL and the NFL update coming up next segment. Right now, though, we kick it off as we do on Wednesdays. It's time to play a little over-under. Joel Silverberg has the odds. We play with the numbers.
Green Bay, Buffalo, Kansas City, and New Orleans are all favorites in the NFL playoffs this weekend. Number of upsets in the divisional round, setting the over-under at 1.5.
I'm going to take the under. I think New Orleans is on upset alert. I think everybody else will. It'll be chalk.
Yeah, I could see. It's going to be tough. I'm going to take the under. I think we get one, but I think really there's a potential for a couple. I don't like Cleveland's chances to beat Kansas City. I think Baltimore can absolutely beat Buffalo. I know that New Orleans has already beaten Tampa twice, but it is tough to beat a team three times in a season, so I could see something go right for Tampa there. Also, New Orleans has just had some horrible luck in the playoffs the last three seasons, so who knows what's going to happen to them this time. And I think the Packers should beat the Rams, but with the Rams' defense being as opportunistic as it is, could they find a way to win in Lambeau? Sure. So ultimately, I'm going to say that we get one, and I'm going to take the under.
I'm going to take the over. I'm going to take the over. I think we're going to get a lot of football, great football games, and in the NFL, especially in the playoffs, you got to throw out spreads and the number next, their seed number, and all that stuff. I think there'll be a couple of them.
I was surprised to see Buffalo's only, I believe, a 3-point favorite over the Ravens. I just think Buffalo's better than that. They may prove me wrong this Saturday or this Sunday, and
I think that's more about Baltimore than it is about Buffalo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true.
With another national championship win on Monday night, Nick Saban now has 7 national titles over under on future Saban championships, setting it at 1.5.
I mean, you have to take the over. As long as he's coaching, he's a threat to win it. So I don't want him to win another one, but I think he'll probably win 2 more.
Yeah, it would have to depend on how long he actually coaches. And he's going to lose a lot with this recruiting class, but that hasn't stopped him before. So. Yeah. It's hard to believe that he's only won back-to-back championships once. Feels like he's done it more than that. But, yeah, I mean, right now he's averaging a title every other year. So I'm going to take the over for the time being.
Yeah, I mean, that's the stat right there. He's made it clear that, I mean, I would say all of us would agree that he's going to coach at least 4 more years. And if he coaches 4 more years, that's 2 more championships based on the last decade and a half. So, yeah. Give me the over.
Ugh. Future years that Saban coaches over under 3.5.
I take the over. I think he does 5. Here's the thing though, he is in the best shape of appears to be in the best shape of his life. He found how much he missed coaching the week he couldn't do it when he had COVID. At some point he's got to slow down, but I think he starts to ease back here in about 3 years while still being Nick Saban, and then walks away completely in 5. So I'll take the over, but just barely.
I'm going to take the over, but yeah, he just doesn't seem like he's slowing down. And the fact that he had to take a game off this season doesn't seem like it helps the case for him to stop coaching, because he didn't seem to enjoy not coaching. So I'm going to take the over.
Saban doesn't do anything else, guys. He doesn't have, you know, he's not. Steve Spurrier was a golfer. You know, some coaches, Mike Gundy likes to hunt. You know, they have these things where they could retire on their piles of money and go do their thing. Nick Saban doesn't have a thing. This
he
is
golfs,
his thing.
He doesn't love golf, though, like he does coaching.
Yeah, it's just not. He doesn't have like a passion about anything other than what he does, and I think he, and he said it, he will coach until he feels like he's no longer, you know, the best one for the job. If, you know, if he's not helping, can't do his job, can't fill the, you know, like he used to anyway. I don't think that's happening anytime soon, unless there's some sort of other circumstance that makes him stop. I think he'll coach. I'd take it at 4.5. I think he'll coach at least 5 more years.
ESPN's way too early preseason top 25 for 2021 has Alabama and Georgia in the top 4, and Texas A&M just on the outside. The over-under on SEC playoff teams next year set at 1.5.
I don't want Georgia to be there, but I look at how they close the season with JT Daniels playing quarterback, and I think they got a pretty good shot at it. And if they don't, Texas A&M may. So I'll take the over. I'll say the SEC has 2 playoff teams next year.
I'm going to take the under because I think Florida's going to take a step back, not significantly, but enough to where Georgia should be able to beat them outright and make the SEC championship game. And if Alabama beats Georgia in the title game, I don't see them staying in because I also don't see Georgia necessarily running the table. They could take a loss somewhere and still get to the SEC title game. And I realize that we had 2 ACC teams in this year, and Notre Dame lost in the title game and then still got in. It took really special circumstances for that to happen. So I don't foresee that happening again. Notre Dame's going to be out of the ACC. Could they get back in without Ian Book? Does the Pac-12 get a team in? The Big 12 this season, you know, typically they find a way to get a team in. So if Oklahoma runs the table or if Sark has Texas rolling in year one, I just think there's going to be too many variables to allow 2 teams from the same conference to get in. So I'm going to take the under.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under too, but I really do like Georgia and JT Daniels to actually be the team that gets in. Alabama has had, they take smaller steps back, but they take steps back baby when steps. They lose a ton of play. It's baby steps, but you know, baby steps around the complex. That's what that's what they do, and it's small. So they, I don't see them being in the playoff next year. I could be wrong. I think Georgia is probably the early pick out of the SEC to be the team that is represented in the playoff. And also knowing that the playoff committee and the country, you know, just like we're talking about, we're tired of the same teams being involved. Well, the country, whole country is tired of the SEC being bad. I mean, being great. Sorry. The whole country is tired of a national championship rematch 2011 game, Alabama LSU, or 2009. I know it was 11. Alabama LSU rematch game for the title. There's SEC fatigue all across the country. So I think that'll hurt our chances of getting 2 in as well. So I'm taking the under.
And that's how we play Over Under. It's brought to you each week by Avalon.
Yeah, that little frost had the tee times delayed this morning, but every time I go over there, there's tons of people out there playing and eating food, and it's a great family membership place, avalongolf.com.
The Eric Haines Show continues next. We'll check in with our VFL and the NFL update on the other side on the Eric Haines Show. Solutions for that room in your house that's always just a little uncomfortable, bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. 6 former Vols saw action in Super Wild Card Weekend in the NFL playoffs. We start, as we typically do, with the Saints and Alvin Kamara. His touchdown gave the Saints a 21-3 lead with 9 minutes left in their matchup with the Bears. Kamara finished with 99 yards rushing on 23 carries and 2 catches for 17 yards. Marquez Callaway and Shy Tuttle also saw action in that game for New Orleans. Tuttle had 1 tackle, and Callaway was on the field, though was not targeted in the game. In that same game, former Vol Cordarrelle Patterson had 68 kickoff return yards in that matchup as their season comes to an end. Morgan Cox, long snapper for the Ravens, had 8 snaps in the Ravens' victory over the Titans. And John Kelly, who is on the Cleveland Browns practice squad, his team moves on to the divisional round following their win over the Steelers. And we don't talk about the off-field guys too often, but Jacquez McClendon moves on to the divisional round. He is the Rams director of player development, and the Rams will face the Packers this Saturday afternoon.
That's awesome, man.
So it's an abbreviated VFL in the NFL update, as we now have fewer guys and fewer stats, but we'll keep that rolling on through the Super Bowl and help get it wrapped up. And it's brought to you each week by Blue Water Climate Control.
BlueWaterClimateControl.com. You just heard all about it. Great deals going on. Sign up online or book online.
You can't book online. Kentucky basketball lost again last night. Alabama basketball now has it rolling after Alabama football wins a championship. I don't want them to be good at everything, but Nate Oates has that team a lot of fun to watch right now.
They just do such a good job of penetrating, getting to the basket. That's, I mean, what causes the most problems for a defense? It's penetration and getting in, call it hunting the paint. If you can get down in there, especially if you can finish. A lot of teams have guys that can beat people off the dribble, but then they get down in there and they just get their shots blocked, or they get them rearranged so much that they're not effective actually getting the ball in the bucket. Alabama seems to be able to do all of that. And then probably the biggest thing they're doing right now is their high percentage three-point shooting in transition, and they're playing good defense. I mean, they're a complete basketball team. They don't have a lot of holes. I mean, I really do think that they're a tournament team and they could make some noise. I think they're potentially that good.
It's the worst home loss for Kentucky in the John Calipari era. Now,
there hasn't been a lot of losses there, honestly.
Also true. Alabama's now 10-3 on the year, 5-0 in the SEC. Cal's Wildcats are 4-7. And this was just their first SEC loss, though.
You know, I keep waiting. Kentucky's, they looked a little better at times. They just, I'm telling you, they just aren't, they're not a basketball team. They look like, we always joke about AAU going 1-on-5. They kind of look like that. And until their players that are trying to just wheel and deal and go score can score more consistently, and when they get open looks, knock them down, they're just not a good shooting team either.
Yeah.
Kentucky has, I think they'll get better. I don't know that they'll get better in time to be a tournament team, short of winning the conference tournament. If that happens, I don't see it on the court. Like, it's not like they have a player or two that's just new and they don't understand. Like, they struggle at some things that normally Kentucky doesn't struggle at. And I don't know how Cal gets it turned around fast enough for them to make enough noise to be a tournament team.
They can only lose, you know, what, two or three more games in conference.
Max.
To even, I mean, just because of the 1-6 record they had in non-conference, they dug themselves a hole where they have to be six games over 500 in conference just to even qualify for the postseason.
Yep.
And never mind what their resume may or may not be by that point. They have the talent to do it. I just don't know that they will. But Alabama looked good last night. Now we're in the position where we're going to have to start cheering for them to take an L here or there so Tennessee can still factor in for the SEC championship. Mm. And, of course, the Vols were at home last night with after Vanderbilt's COVID issues forced cancellation of that game. Tennessee was already in Nashville when the game was canceled. And so instead of getting on the bus to go to shoot around, they got on the bus and came back home.
Maybe they at least got some hot chicken before they came back.
Maybe.
You could just do a Grubhub or a DoorDash to your bus.
I'm sure Mary Carter was on that in getting them.
Got to get some hot chicken while we're in Nashville.
Yeah. Do you want to do it the night before the game, though? Because it could cause some issues the next day for some people.
Well, in my experience, it does not. It just is amazing and tastes amazing.
Oh, yeah. Some people, though.
My Folky eats two Nashville hot chicken sandwiches and has a bunch of snacks. He's a big Doritos guy, maybe some Cheetos, drinking a Coca-Cola.
I love how you've created your whole.
Yeah, like that's my Folky does that. And they're like, Folky, what you eat matters. And he's like, I know, these are my favorite. Like that's the Folky I believe in.
SEC basketball tonight. Arkansas is at LSU. Auburn is at Georgia. And I believe that is now because of COVID. One more game. Texas A&M is at Mississippi State. So a light slate tonight because of some COVID cancellations. But SEC hoops fever is here. Tennessee still scheduled to play Vanderbilt on Saturday at Thompson Bowling Arena. No further word on whether that game is played or not, but at least as of right now, it is still on, and I would hope for Tennessee's sake they don't have to go a full week or more than a full week without playing a basketball game.
So, I got to find out how I'm going to get hockey on our TV now.
Yeah, is opening night tonight?
Yeah, I mean, unless I'm reading it wrong, Pittsburgh and the Penguins and the Flyers play at 5:30. The Canadiens and the Maple Leafs play at 7. The Blackhawks and the Lightning play at 8. The Canucks and the Oilers play at 10. And the Blues and the Avalanche play at 10:30.
Yeah. Big opening night in the NHL.
It's here, man.
I believe NBC and NBCSN are going to carry a record number of games this year, starting with their big opener tonight.
Well, we got rid of our cable, so now we're all streaming everything. It hasn't bit me yet. I mean, I've been able to watch everything that I would want to watch when I want to watch it. It's been great, and it just saved us a ton of money and gave us access to more stuff. But I got to find out how I'm watching the Caps and the Sabres tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Maybe I get NBC Sports Network through Hulu.
Probably, but also, those regional sports networks that you were watching may not be as easily available.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm a little worried about it.
Yeah. That sports is the whole reason why I haven't cut the cord.
Well, this would be the first sporting event of any kind that I wanted to watch and couldn't. So if that's the case, then I'll have to probably buy it online or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Find a way.
We'll find a way. It's hockey season. Heck yeah, I love that.
Hockey season has started here in Knoxville because the Ice Bears had their home opener last Friday night. And, Joel, they're the Ice Bears at home this coming weekend as well, are they not?
Yeah, on the road Friday, at home on Saturday. So kind of got a home-and-home series going on, but they will be back in town this Saturday night.
I hope French fries can get it done for us.
That was great.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was great. It was amazing.
Those guys are going to be on the team for all year, right? They have to be.
I guess they have to be. You got to start playing them on the same line.
Yeah.
Fries, goal!
I mean, I guess maybe not, because Fries did score on Friday, so I don't know. Maybe some things are working out, but yeah, I mean, they got to sit next to each other on the bench at least for the rest of the season.
Do you have
Joel,
ketchup?
If they're both in there and French passes to Fries and gets the goal, I have really high expectations of what that call will sound like.
I did try to keep the Fries puns to a minimum. I think I let one slip on the air.
You have to pace yourself. I mean, like, you don't want to beat it to death early to where it's not funny later, but also, if French does pass to Fry, there's got to be a catch-up reference when the biscuit goes in the basket.
Yeah, and the Fries pun that I actually made on Friday was actually unintended. It was purely incidental.
Huh.
I can't remember what it was, but it was incidental.
Those happen.
Yeah.
Well, so the Ice Bears are fun.
But it was great to see the Ice Bears on SportsCenter. That was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting some attention. That's what we need. And Mike Murray will have his segment, Slap Shots with John and Jimmy, coming up on Thursday afternoon around 4:30 as well. So looking forward to that. We'll come back. More on Tennessee's hire of Kevin Steele when we return. What does that mean for the program? Where does Tennessee go now with their coaching staff? That's next on the Eric Haynes Show.
(865) 656-9900 if you want to join Eric Ainge, me, that's me, and Brian Rice, Joel Silverberg, as we take you for another half hour here.
So Tennessee hires Kevin Steele to be a defensive staff member for the Volunteers. multi-year deal, $450,000 a year. He's also collecting a bunch of money from Auburn every year as well, which allowed Tennessee to get him at a lower price than he made last year. Good staff addition for Tennessee, regardless of what happens with the rest of the staff right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're bringing him home. He's been an SEC lifer, basically. He's been coaching forever in and around this conference, different teams, and had success. He's very knowledgeable, has a great brand and reputation in the coaching world. And that's not always the case. You know, there's some coaches that get a lot of hype and talk, and everyone talks about them all the time. But as far as other coaches, it's just not like I wouldn't put Mike Leach in that category. You know, Gundy, for the most part, I wouldn't put him in that category. Universally liked and respected. It just is what it is. I think Steele's one of those guys that you could have coach any position on the defense. If you had any turnover, any things happen, or you replaced a coach, you got a guy that's capable of, you know, stepping in. Definitely, especially with what you pay for him. Wasn't he making like $2 million as the coordinator at Auburn?
I believe so. I know he was making
four or something like that.
I know he was making well over $1 million. I'm not sure what his salary was last year.
I could be wrong there. That's very possible. But regardless, he's making significantly less money, and he's not the coordinator. But that's okay. I mean, you bring just as much value being a guy that can toss out reminders and.
You're right, Eric. $2.5 million a season.
Yeah. So I mean, that's what I thought. Very highly paid coordinator that you're getting on your staff for $450,000 a year.
Yeah. Which means that's Auburn will be paying him $2.1 million or $2.05 million each of the next 2 years.
What a steal.
Yeah. No pun intended.
Anyway, right. I think he's a good coach, and he's going to be a valuable member to the staff. And, you know, it doesn't like that kind of, that's like, it's all good. You know, it brings up the question. We talked about it earlier. I thought they weren't able to hire anybody.
I think,
They had chosen they wouldn't be hiring anybody.
What I had always been told from the start of this thing was if a situation comes up where there's a can't-miss hire that you need on your staff, you can go ahead and make the move. But they weren't going to make the run-of-the-mill hires until at least Jeremy Pruitt had talked to the investigators, which I'm told is supposed to happen on Thursday. Kevin Steele's the kind of can't-miss guy that you don't want to let go somewhere else if he's interested in joining your staff. Kevin Steele, I mean, just be frank about what's going on, Kevin Steele's a guy that I think any coach that came in would value having on his staff, at least for his first year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's a great recruiter.
He's a great on-field coach, has a lot of connections in this area and in this region, and he's somebody that would be valued by anybody for their staff. I don't think he could stay at Auburn because of how that ended, but and I would assume that Gus Malzahn probably might not feel the same about him on his staff, but we'll see.
You know, I'd be curious, though, if it wasn't down to do we just promote from within and give Steele the job, or do we go out and hire somebody else? If that was never on the table and he was just one of the coaches that was probably going to be let go but could be retained if Harsin wanted him, I bet Harsin would have kept him.
Yeah.
In some capacity, he would have wanted him on the staff. That's the thing. But when, like on his side of it, it would have been awkward for him to stay, knowing that he made a play and his agent made a play, and they were very interested in him being. And there was a lot of people involved that were very interested in Steele being the head coach.
Right.
Now you got a guy that was almost hired at Auburn as the head coach, who was the D coordinator, who you now have as a position coach, and you're paying him $2 million less than he was. I don't know how you don't make that move on paper. If you can pull that off, you pull it off. It makes a lot of sense. My question would be, you know, like I understand, you know, you're searching for the O-line coach. Who's that going to be? You know, that's probably a lot of between Chaney and Pruitt and Fulmer. There's probably conversations that go into what would they want to do with that position. I get that taking time and waiting through the investigation. From everything I can gather, T. Martin's not really involved in the investigation. that I have heard anyway.
Yeah.
He's not one of them, not enough of a name that you wouldn't hire. Why can't we give T a new contract? His expires at the end of the month. Or are we just assuming this is all going to get settled way before then? You'll get your contract and then, you know, a handshake type deal. But it's we're halfway through the month and T. Martin doesn't have a contract. I mean, at some point, your agent requests that you for sure get one, like, immediately, or you're going to go find another job.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
So, well, it'll be interesting to see how all the chips fall with all this stuff.
Yep. It is going to be interesting how that rolls on. But you're going to have to make some decisions here coming up in the next few days, and I think they will ultimately. Sean Schamberger, the new Sentinel reports, is out of the NCAA transfer portal. He has withdrawn his name from the portal, and that could mean that he's coming back to Tennessee.
That's good. Schamberger's a good player, man. I mean, if he's healthy and dialed in, he could absolutely be a contributor. I had really high expectations for him this past year. I know it didn't turn out like that, but doesn't mean it couldn't this year.
Yeah. And Jeremy Pruitt had said back earlier this year that he was focusing on his academics and then put his name in the portal now, but has apparently pulled it out, according to a report from the New Sentinel. So that's going to be see if he's coming back or if we hear anything from him on social media about what his intentions are. But that's the report right now, that he has pulled his name out of the transfer portal. We'll put our name in the transfer portal for moving on along for the rest of the day. We'll, of course, be back tomorrow, but we'll find out what we learned today, and I have an epic story about something I just learned next on the Eric Gaines Show. Deuce. Which, if you're expecting Diet Coke and you've just had a bite of cinnamon roll, V8 juice is the last thing that you want to be drinking. And so anyway, it was hilarious. It was disgusting. And everybody laughed at me, including Kelly, who said, there's no way you could mistake one for the other. And I said, well, you turn the cans around backwards and, you know, they're in the same place and you see it and you can see how it happens. And she said, basically, I guess. Well, this morning, she and my son and the dog went down to visit her parents and her grandmother, and she reached into their refrigerator and pulled out a Diet Coke and took a big drink, and it was once again V8 juice, and she is now distraught because karma has bitten her for making fun of me for doing it.
I'm for that story.
Yeah. I'm not happy it happened to her, but I'm like, oh, yeah, it's so easy to tell the difference between those cans, isn't it?
Normally, I like V8. I don't know that there would be something I could bite into. Oh. I think I'd be good with V8. Spicy V8 is definitely awesome.
It's cold, watered-down ketchup is all it is. It's disgusting.
Oh, it's so good. No. So salty.
No.
Heart-shape emoji.
So I learned that.
We learned that VFL and former New England Patriot, current inside linebackers coach for the Patriots, Gerard Mayo, is expected to interview for the vacant Eagles head coaching job this week.
Yeah.
So that's fun. That's his first head coaching gig interview. Once you start getting them, you eventually get one.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's going to be good for him. We learned that we've got to find something to do to make college football a little more equitable as far as finding ways for somebody to do something with Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State.
Got to beat them.
Got to find a way.
Got to find a way to beat them. Everything we talked about today is completely unrealistic other than expanding the playoff and give them another chance to lose.
Yeah.
Short of that, everything we said was not even remotely realistic, most of which legally wouldn't even fly.
Yeah, you couldn't restrict them from recruiting guys. No. And you couldn't. Reducing scholarships would be an option, but when the NCAA studied that several years ago, they said anything really below 85 could become a player safety issue if you have a bunch of injuries. So I do think they will make an adjustment with the hard 25 cap here in the next year or two as the effect of transfers leaving programs will leave guys out in the cold and programs with less than 85 scholarship players. But
oh, especially in a program where a coach is on a hot seat or when they just took over and you get like a mass exodus from the program, from the team.
Yeah.
You're just playing significantly shorthanded.
Well, in a four-year period, you can only sign 85 guys. In a four-year period, you can only sign 100 players, 4 times 25. With 85 scholarships, that means you can only lose 15 over a four-year period and have a full roster. So if you have 20 guys transfer out when there's a coaching change, then you aren't going to be able to replace that over really even a four-year cycle. So it's something they're going to have to look at, but I think it's going to have to happen and play out first before you're going to see any movement on it.
Well, I mean, I would argue that we're already seeing it happen at times at schools where they're playing with significantly less than the 85 and they end up putting a bunch of walk-ons on scholarship and stuff like that. But I mean, we're already seeing it. I think when you add I don't think it's going to take 3 or 4 years for us to see how the new one-time transfer rule affects schools with the 85. Cause yes, you can lose players, but you can go get them as well. There's going to be examples, I think, this upcoming year and the year after that, where you look at some teams and you go, these guys have 71 players on scholarship right now.
Yeah.
They got to be able to fix that in a year, not put some scholarships, walk-ons on scholarship and get your 25 every year and do your best to retain them. You're going to be fired before that happens.
Yeah, it is.
We learned that NHL hockey starts tonight.
Yeah. And you're going to have to find out a way to watch it.
I think I already did. Your Avalanche play, a.k.a. I called my wife, who's the bigger hockey fan of the two of us, and said, hey, figure out how we can watch this, and she did. So,
gotcha.
But, yeah, and your Avalanche play tonight at 10:30. That's their typical time, right?
Yeah, usually 9 or 10, yeah. So, go watch it. I believe they're on NBCSN tonight, so.
Yep.
Looking forward to that.
I think they committed to playing a bunch more of the games, having more games, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be.
So that's.
No,
that's good. It's good.
No Doc Emrick this year. He retired after last season. The greatest play-by-play announcer in hockey history. So.
Well, it'll
have to make do with.
Yeah, you'll have to make do.
Whoever else they send it out. But.
We learned that Kyrie Irving is still not here, and I took a more serious approach to it because I genuinely think that Kyrie Irving has mental health problems and he needs help for them, and he's not willing to do that, and I think that's what you see from his behavior. Like, this isn't normal Kyrie. This is struggling Kyrie with needing help, and I don't know that the Nets should put up with it if he's not willing to let him, help. You know, if he went in there and he had mental health problems and they said get some help for it, they would keep him.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's willing to even go down that road and that path at all. I think that, Danny knew after a few months of having him in Boston that I wish this would have been more well documented because he obviously has some inner demons, some problems that he needs to get fixed. And it comes out and trending on Twitter because you're gone from your team. The Nets ought to, honestly, at this point, they should just cut him.
Yeah.
Take the hit and get rid of him. Seriously. Because no one's going to want him. I mean, there's other, they've been talking, try to talk trades and all this kind of stuff, try to figure out a way to get rid of Kyrie Irving and get as much possible value back for him. Because if you just get rid of him, then you have to take that financial hit of that money that you've already given him, unless it's offset and the guaranteed parts of the full guaranteed of the contract. I don't know, but at what point is he hurting you if you've committed the money? At what point do you just get rid of him? If we owe the money regardless, get rid of him. If there's a way we can get it back, let's go through that process. But
I learned that the New York Times just made a huge error.
No, I saw that, dude.
So Joe Biden, the president has, or the president elect has appointed Michael Leach to be his chief diversity and inclusion director. Apparently, whoever at the New York Times was in charge of Googling the resumes of these people instead Googled Mike Leach, because the New York Times lists Michael Leach, a former assistant to the head coach for the Chicago Bears and head coach of the Texas Tech football team, will be chief diversity and inclusion director. No, he won't.
Yeah. Is there a worse coach in college football you could pick for that?
I'm not sure there is. I'm not sure there is. So,
how do people do that?
People that don't watch sports are in charge of researching these people that they've never heard of for governmental positions, and you go, oh, well, that's cool. I can see how a former football coach would be in charge of inclusion and diversity. Not realizing that Mike Leach, of all people, would not be that person.
Yeah, no.
You just got to make sure. You know, when you Google it and nothing about government experience ever comes up, maybe you go, hey, are you all sure?
I just don't know how. That's a pretty big mess up. Yeah. Oh, we also learned that Sean Schamberger is not going to get in the transfer portal. He has withdrawn his name.
He's out of the portal. He's like
the portal.
He's like that scene in A League of Their Own where Marla steps in and steps back and steps in and steps back and steps in and steps back. Hopefully this will be the final answer. He'll be back.
We learned there's some SEC games tonight. We learned that V8 Juice has bested both you and your lovely bride.
Yep.
Have you ever even had the spicy V8?
Yeah, once.
Once. Really, one and done guy, man.
It's still, if you don't like tomato paste, then a product whose primary ingredient is tomato paste is never going to satisfy you, no matter what else you put in it.
Now, I don't think I would want it if I were thirsty. Like, if I needed my thirst quenched,
yeah.
I don't know that I'd go to the V8, but guess what I drink every time I go to Rusty Wallace Kia on I-75 and Callahan Drive?
V8?
V8.
All right. That'll do it for today. We'll see you tomorrow.
Why the shows are so good. Veggies.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Air Gain Show.